Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
One of the more puzzling and trying aspects of the Christian walk is that God is not always pleased to allow us to enjoy the fullness of His presence. He does from time to time throw back the curtain and allow us to walk with Him in the garden in the cool of the day. But He is not pleased to enable us to continue that closeness at all times. It is this very fact that reminds us of His absolute sovereignty. He would not have us to assume that we can have fellowship with Him any time we so choose. He alone is the one who determines when He will reveal Himself and allow us to feast upon the fat things of His banquet table. But those times of blessings are so sweet that even a crumb that falls from His table is like a feast to that man who hungers for Him. This is one of the reasons that He has given us His promise and has bestowed upon us the gift of faith. Whenever it pleases the Lord to hide Himself from us, He yet does so not to utterly forsake us nor cast us off, for He has given us these great and precious promises which are set forth in the gospel upon which all of our hopes are built. We are encouraged by Isaiah's words, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God." This is the same sentiment expressed by Peter when he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." It is impossible for those of us who are still clothed in this corruptible flesh to always know by our experience that we are the sons of God. That man who never doubts his own inclusion in the number of God's elect is probably ignorant of the fact that salvation is of the Lord and is not a product of his free will and ability to say a prayer. Neither is he well acquainted with his own sinful and corrupt heart of flesh, which despises the way of God even when he is born again. If our salvation was in any way dependent upon our ability to believe, obey, or trust him, we would all have no hope. Or if we were saved because we always felt that way, then we would surely despair. The modern-day soul winners instruct men to just believe and never doubt, yet true faith often says, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." They tell men that they must believe that Christ died for their sins. But how can a man be instructed to believe something that may not be true? We are quite convinced that Christ died to absolutely atone for the sins of his elect people, and shall lose none of those whose redemption he has purchased with his own blood. We cannot be certain at all times that we are of that number, nor can we know that someone else is. But by the grace of God, he is pleased to give us reason to hope in his mercy, because he has made the promises of the gospel to appear to us as apples of gold and pictures of silver. He has put within his children the same mind that he put within Job when he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, but it is built on nothing more either. So the bride of Christ cannot help but long after him and to desire his presence, because the operation of the quickening power of the Holy Ghost awakens her from the deadness of her sin and makes her alive in him who she gladly owns as her Lord. His love for her is greater than she can imagine, even though she often feels as though he has forsaken her. Yet she can do nothing else but seek him, and with strong yearnings desire to tell him of her love. From time to time he knocks upon her door, enters in and sups with her in such a way that she is overwhelmed, but then he is often gone as quickly as he came. This is so in order that she does not think that he is her servant. The Lord will teach his children that he is sovereign. When he walked upon the earth, he stooped to serve them. Yet he does not now occupy such a role, but is seated at the right hand of the Father, from whence he shall come in flaming fire. This is so that she does not think that it is in the power of the flesh to enjoy his blessings. Our flesh will whisper to us that we can earn his favor by our supposed obedience or religious service, but he will not allow his people to trust in themselves. He does this so that she does not grow complacent. Someone has said familiarity breeds contempt. When we think of something as commonplace, the value of it diminishes in our eyes. That man who is in a dry and thirsty land appreciates a cup of water far more than the man who dwells beside a mountain stream. He does this so that she does not trust in her experience rather than his promise. Modern evangelism teaches men that their experience is their salvation. The Bible teaches us that our salvation is Christ himself, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.